1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14, it says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be received by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to continue with our series of servanthood. And folks, understand rewards. There are rewards of serving. Amen. We have looked at many aspects of serving these last few weeks. We have seen how a servant, excuse me, a servant must be a giver. We have seen how a servant must be a forgiver. And we've seen how a servant must be a forgetter. But we've seen how a servant must think, what their attitudes should be, and how they are influential, and how they must be obedient. Amen. We've also seen how the perils of being a servant and the consequences and the results from serving. But serving definitely has rewards, and they far outweigh the consequences. So when we think about serving, when we think about these things can motivate us to keep serving. Amen? And one of the greatest doctrines of Christianity is our firm belief in a heavenly home. Can you give me a little more monitor, please? Ultimately, we shall spend eternity with God in a place that he has prepared for us. Anybody looking forward to that? Amen. Be with the Lord in heaven. Amen. He's prepared it for us. But part of the excitement is the anticipation of the reward that God has promised to his servants for a job well done. Amen. I want to hear those words from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. So we want to hear him say, well done. And that's why we do what we do. We want to be pleasing to the master. Amen. We want to be like him. Amen. We love God and we want to be what God wants us to be. And understand that, folks. It is important to know your God. If you don't know him, he's really not your God, because you got to know and understand. Now, we can never learn enough, and we could probably continue to learn how God is, but we need to know of him. We need to know what he wants us to do. Amen. We need to know how he wants us to be saved. We need to know how he wants us to act every day, how he doesn't want us to act every day. Amen. So we need to know these things. You know, it's just like when you go to a job, all right? And many people, they like to take jobs at places that you can excel in, right? You don't want to take a job where it's just a dead end and you're going to be this certain position for forever. You want to take a job that you can excel in, right? All right, so what's the best way to excel in a place like that? Get to know the company. Get to know what they do. Get to know who, study into it. And if you go into an interview and tell somebody that you're doing the interview with you, you can tell them about their company. That impresses them. Amen? It's to say, and it's even greater importance to know your God. Know why you serve him. Know who he is. Know what he expects out of you. Know what he doesn't want you to do. Know these things about your God. Amen. And we all believe here today that there is a God. All right, well, then God created us. Then what does God want us to do? How does God want us to serve him? And so that's what I encourage you today. Get to know your God and get to know what God expects out. And we've been studying how God expects us to be a servant. He came on this earth. He was a servant. When the disciples were arguing amongst each other what position they're going to have in this God's kingdom, He's over there trying to find a pan and a towel to wash their feet. He got up from the table and went over and got him a towel and a pan and some water and went and washed their feet while they're arguing about what position they're going to have. So God is a servant, and he expects us to be a servant. And that's totally opposite of what the world wants. You know, the world doesn't want you to be a servant. They want you, you know, you be the best you can be and expect everybody to cater to you and all this. That's totally opposite of what God wants. So, ultimately, one of the greatest doctrines of Christianity is a firm belief in a heavenly home. We believe that if we live for God here on this earth, we're going to go with him in heaven. Amen? So, ultimately, we shall spend eternity with God in a place that he has prepared for us. And part of the excitement is the anticipation of the reward that God has promised to his servants for a job well done. But the Bible is very clear about something. It is very clear regarding the rewards of serving. In 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible not only supports the idea of eternal rewards, it spells out specifics. And let's look at three primary facts about rewards, okay? Most rewards are received in heaven. All right? Not on this earth, but they are received in heaven. And there will be earthly rewards, but God reserves special honor for the day when every man's work shall be made manifest. So everything you do and everything you don't do is going to be made manifest. All right? All rewards are based on quality, not quantity. Amen? Think about that. Now, when we notice verse 13, it talks about the fire testing what? Is the fire test the quality, not the quantity, or the quality, not the quantity. In 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So, folks, as humans, we have a tendency to look at size and volume and noise and numbers, right? Okay, how big is it? How loud is it? How noisy is it? What number? All these things. We want to know these things. But God, he's not care. God looks at motive. Why are you doing what you do? God looks at the authenticity. Are you real? Call yourself a Christian, but are you real? Okay? God looks at the attitude that we have in life. That's important. Amen. Nobody likes a stinky attitude. So God looks at what is real. And what this does, this means that we all have an equal opportunity to receive a reward. No reward that is postponed will be forgotten. So we're going to look at verse 14, but what it tells us is that he shall receive a reward. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. God doesn't overlook anything, folks. And God does not close out the books. God does not settle accounts at the end of every day or at the end of a person's lifetime. God reserves settlement for that special day. That day will come because for God has promised that day will come. So we just believe that it will. But the beauty of it is, if you don't have to be a great and famous person, aren't you glad for that? You know, we think sometimes, oh, these people that are well-known, these people that are famous, they get all the things. Not in God's eyes. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be this great, famous person, and everybody looks to you, wants your autograph, all these kind of things. You can be a nobody in the eyes of the world, and you're faithful, God will someday reward you every act of servanthood. See, God takes note. We don't care about what the world thinks. Okay, in the eyes of the world, we're not famous. And, you know, we don't have a paparazzi out here waiting on us when we come out the door and all this kind of stuff. But God sees your heart. God sees what you're doing. And God is taking care of it. And he's writing it all down. And he's going to reward you for all that you do. Now, rewards may be postponed, but they will not be forgotten forever. And unlike many people, God, aren't you glad God keeps his promises? He keeps his promises. Praise the Lord. So there are around thousands, and I've looked it up, and maybe 7 to 8, maybe 9,000, maybe even more of promises. You looked around at different people who went through the Bible and looked up these different promises and was keeping track and seeing how many there were. But I seen in several posts, there's probably 9,000. But I think there's probably even more promises in the Bible. And many of these promises are specific promises that servants can claim today. And sometimes the only thing that can keep a servant going is God's declared word that their work is not in vain. Now, okay, we don't do things for God to get recognition, okay? We want to do it because we love God. And sometimes when you think, you know, when you're doing these things and you're thinking, wow, is anybody even notice? Always tell yourself God notices. Amen? And there's a lot of things that we do as people and in the house of God, and there's people come over here and clean and do different things, and there's all kinds of different, there's people that go and minister to different people, and nobody's out here declaring it across the news stations and things like that. But folks, God sees everything you do. Everything that you do, God sees it. And he's writing it down. All right? And he's remembering. And there's going to be a day that he's going to reward you for those things. And I believe that God is looking forward to wanting to reward us. Amen? And so we like to thank people for what they do and tell them they did a great job and all these kind of things. And our God is no different. And he's probably even more eager than we ever are to thank people and to show them his appreciation. So sometimes the only thing that can keep a servant going is God's declared word that your work that you do for God is not in vain. It's not in vain. Everything we do for God is going to bless his kingdom. He wants to reward us for it. Praise the Lord. So, you know, when the devil's telling you, why are you doing this kind of stuff and why are you working so hard and why are you being so faithful and all these things, just say, I got a reward coming. Amen? Devil, you're a liar. And God is going to bless me. And I'm doing this because I love my God. He's done so much for me. Amen? I cannot tell it all. Amen. He's changed me. He's made me respectable. He's doing great things in my life. He's brought me a long ways. I want to bless the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. And so if we all keep that attitude and we encourage each other to have that kind of attitude, just think how great the kingdom of God is. Amen. So let's look at these things. Let's look at these promises. And we want to divide them into two groups. And these groups go concerning God's faithfulness. We'll talk about a group of God's faithfulness and those that concern our faithfulness. All right, so we know that God is faithful. How faithful are we? Amen. And sometimes we struggle with things and we're not as faithful as we want to be. But don't ever give up. Just continue to get up. If you fall on and you make a mistake, just get up, dust yourself off, and say, I'm going to go right back into the game. Amen. But never give up. Always be faithful. Praise the Lord. And that's what God is looking for in our lives. He wants faithful people. Amen. God's faithfulness to us, we know that God promises to uphold us with his strength and to be more faithful than a nursing mother. All right? Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen. I like these promises of God. Don't fear. That's what the scripture says. Don't fear. And he says, why should we fear? Because I'm with thee. Amen. And so God is always with us. And we got to believe that. And we got to know that. And well, why does this go on? And why does that go on? Listen, the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Just because I'm a Christian, I walk outside on a rainy day, doesn't mean the sun comes out right over top of me and it's raining everywhere else. Right? We get the rain just like everybody else, just like the sinners do. Problems come in my life, just like everybody else does. But the thing about it is, here's the difference. Is he says, I'm with you. So if I'm going to go through the problems, I want God to be with me. Not everybody has that because they don't serve God that I serve. Amen. So I can fear not from these things that are going on in our lives and that maybe we can see that are going to happen. I don't have to fear them because God is with me, the scripture says. He said, don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. You see, when those problems come, he's going to strengthen me. Amen. To help me get through them. He says, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah 49, 14 through 16. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God says, I'm not going to forget you. Amen. I got you here on my palm of my hand. Amen. I know who I'm dealing with. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Folks, we understand and we see things in the temporal. And that's why sometimes we have to continually get into the Word and remind ourselves how much God loves us, how much he's with us, because this in our we're so used to seeing things, feeling things, hearing things, smelling things. We don't see that all that stuff in the eternal. Okay? And so what's it look like today? Well, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of issues. But we got to look beyond that and look into the internal and understand that God is with us no matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like. You know, I've told the story years ago. I did a job at a guy's house in his whole basement. He had a big house. His whole basement was lined with, he was into battles, different wars. He was a war historian. And he had these sawhorses set up with plywood and had different, I don't know where exactly how he started, but he started different wars. And as different wars come along, you saw, the British and the fighting us here in America and all these things. And then, the world wars and all those kind of things. He was just continually making these. And you see these little people and all, he had them laid out beautiful. And when I looked at that thing, it reminded me how great our God is. You see, those people in that scale that I saw couldn't see over the mountains. They couldn't see what's around the corners. Okay? But as I'm standing, I'm thinking, God is looking down on all of this, and God knows what's on the other side of the mountain for me. God knows what's coming around the corner for me. Amen? So I can put my hand in his hand and believe and trust that no matter what, he's going to help guide me and get me through whatever situation it was in my life. God has, just like I could look down and see this little person here couldn't see over here, but I could see what's there. God said, that's how I am. I'm watching for your life. I see what's going ahead. Yeah, you're going to have problems along the way, but just know I'm with you. And that just gave me such comfort, amen, knowing that God knows what's ahead. I don't know what's out there tomorrow, but my God does, amen. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And so I don't know what may come my way. It might be my last day, but I know I'm in good hands, amen. Praise the Lord. So we just got to trust him. Philippians 4, verse 19, But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Folks, that's a promise. Amen. We can trust in God. Amen. He's going to supply all of our needs. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's, you know, I've told the story years ago about when we lived in Seville, Ohio. I'd go down there, and my landlord, when we went to rent the house, he stuck this stick in the tank. This is how we measure the fuel in your tank. And when you get to this line, you don't have heat. And for a couple weeks, I was measuring, and it was at that line, and I still had heat. But I didn't have money to put anything in it. Okay? But I knew how to get on my knees and talk to God. And a couple weeks went by, and I stayed at that line. And I still had heat. And one day, somebody backed the fuel oil truck up to my tank there, started pumping fuel in, and I didn't order. My God shall supply all your needs. How? According to his riches in glory. Amen? Revelation 21, verse 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God is looking forward to wiping your tears away. Amen. He's wanting to bless you and understand. You don't have to suffer anymore. Praise the Lord. Revelation 22, 3 through 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Look what God is saying, folks. Yeah, I know it's not easy on this earth, but hey, you stay faithful. Amen. And you have rewards. Amen. And they're in heaven. Amen. Folks, we understand if we are faithful to God, we have a hope in him. Amen. We have a hope in him. Hallelujah. So in Hebrews 6, there, Paul uses six words to convey one of the greatest truths of all. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget. In other words, he's saying, God is faithful. Amen. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Amen. You see, folks, God is not fickle. God is not forgetful. He's not temperamental. But God is loyal. God is faithful. God is dependable. God is constant. God is steady. Amen? And he, our God, is consistent. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is your God loyal to you today? Is he faithful to you today? Is your God dependable to you today? Amen. Is he constant? Amen. Is he steady? Is he consistent? Now, you know, the world looks at us and they think we're crazy. And, you know, and they think, you know, Christians are wimps and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, I like to say, hey, listen, it takes somebody with some stamina about them. It takes somebody with some guts to stand up and say, I'm not going to be like everybody else. Come on, folks. Anybody can walk down and go down here to Tony's and get you a drink and get drunk. Anybody can go get high. Anybody can do all those kind of things. Everybody's doing it. What about the person that says, not me? Huh? I'm going to live for God. It's not easy, but I'm tough. I can do it. Amen? We can live for God because he is loyal, he's faithful, he's dependable, he's constant, he's steady, he's consistent. But you know, you can't live for a God if you don't know your God. You have to get to know your God. And the same God that loves me loves you. Amen? He loves you. No matter what. No matter what you do, folks, hear me today. No matter what you do in life, God loves you. And he'll always love you, even if you get worse. Right? Come on, mothers. You love those kids even how, no matter how bad they get sometimes, huh? That doesn't mean you don't want to beat them. Because they probably deserve it. But you still love them. And that's, see, people don't understand. The devil messes people's brains. He says, God doesn't love you. God always loves you. You keep this, you can take it to the bank. God loves you. No matter what you do. But if you get to know God and start to serve God the way he wants you to serve him, you can be, you can please your God. So, we know God is loyal, faithful, dependable, constant, steady, and consistent. But knowing that even the best of servants, no matter how great of a servant you are, servants still get weary. So Paul went on, to encourage us. He wants to encourage these weary servants to be diligent. Amen? Paul is going to try and encourage you today, folks. Be diligent in serving. And he wants you to know that we need to trust our God in spite of the demands. So in Hebrews 6, verse 11 through 12, and we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful. Okay? So even in those times when we're like, oh, I just don't know if I can do this anymore, he's saying, you be diligent. All right? All the way to the end. And he says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, let me help you understand that. Tomorrow's Monday. And most everybody don't like Mondays. I'm not going to say hate. If you hate, that's excessive. But so you go to work anyways, even though you don't feel like it, right? And you better be diligent at your job or you won't have one Tuesday, right? And then Tuesday comes and you better go to work and you better be diligent or you won't have one Wednesday. Paul's saying, you be diligent all the way to Friday if you want your check. I don't know, does anybody here go to work and don't want a check? You want your reward for working all week, for being diligent all week, right? So what Paul's telling us here, look, servants of God, even though you don't feel like it, even though you have one of those days where you want to be just slothful, he says, you be diligent all the way till that day when God takes you home for your reward. All the way until you get your paycheck. Come on. Does that help you today? He's saying, look, do it. Just get up and do it. No matter how tired you may feel, how weary you may be, he says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit their promise. The devil wants to fool with you, mess with you, and say, you're being foolish, being this Christian and going to church and living for God. You're being foolish. Look what everybody else is doing. And you're over here believing this stuff. You be faithful, servants of God. That's what Paul told us. You be faithful. And you're going to inherit your promise. And you're only going to do this, folks, through your faith in God. Well, how do you have faith in God if you don't know God? That's why you got to know your God. Amen. Get in their word and believe and trust in God. So regarding our faithfulness to God, Let's look at several scriptures that declare promises to those who are faithful to God. 1 Corinthians 15, God promises that our work is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So get it in your mind. Anything I do for God is not in vain. Amen? And so you got to get this in your mind and you got to believe it. You know why? Because that day when you come and the devil is beating up on you and you're having a hard day and you're wondering, is this worth it? You got to remember, I know God is faithful. Because when you were in your right mind, you decided to believe and trust in your God. That when the time comes, when you're just saying, is this worth it? You got to say, yes, I know it is. I may not feel it like right now. I may not understand why I'm going through this, but I know my God is faithful. Amen? We need these things, folks. Amen? We need to understand and know why we're doing this. Know why are we living for God? And if you can't encourage yourself like David said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. What do you do, sister? Get on the phone to your pastor and text him, don't you? Huh? Get on the phone with somebody that you know that will encourage you. That good friend in the Lord, that good brother or sister in the Lord. I need you to pray for me right now. I need you. Can you give me a word of encouragement? That's what the body's for. Amen? You know, when the body gets that wound, what happens? Those cells and all those things rush to that wound and help mend. And that's when we're going through those rough days and those hard times in our lives. We need each other to give us a word of encouragement to help us in the Lord. Okay? You're going to have those days when you're not like David's where you can encourage yourself. But thank God you got the body of Christ. Amen? So when we have done what was needed and were ignored, misunderstood, forgotten, we can be sure that it's not in vain. Amen? It's not in vain. God sees everything that I'm doing. God knows and he's writing it down. So in Galatians, God promises that we shall or we must reap. All right? Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap. Why? If we faint not. All right? Anybody ever planted anything? You ever plant a seed? Anybody? Three of you? Not too many gardeners here. No green thumbs. When you put that seed in, you cover it up, and you put a little water on it. Walk in and come back 15 minutes. Is it up? No? What about the next day? Is it up? I know it depends on what seed it is, but most of the time it takes a little bit, right? All right? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season your seed will pop up. Right? You shall reap. And if you plant one ear, if you take one piece of corn and you plant it in the ground, you're going to reap one piece of corn. Huh? Hopefully you get a couple, what do they call them, cobs or whatever they call them. And you can be that, you know, that typewriter. Right? Oh, man, come on, there's nothing greater than corn on the cob with butter and salt all over. Come on, now, that's eating. Somebody tries to tell me there ain't nothing going on, no kind of calories or anything in a corn. I don't care, it tastes good. You can put corn on my plate any day. And I'll tell you what, it sure makes them old cows big and fat. So I don't know what's in it, but if it works for them, it'll work for me. Huh? But hey, listen, you put one of those kernels in the ground, and you get that stalk, and you get those cobs of corn. You shall reap if you faint not. You think about that farmer. What kind of faith does that farmer have, folks? He'll go out there, he'll take that tractor, and he'll turn all that over. And I've seen them things done many times. I grew up out in the country, and big old clobs of dirt just fall right over, and that grass goes right underneath. When you're done, it's all dirt. Okay? Then he'll go back a few days later, as long as it ain't rained, and he'll take that and slice it all up, and it's real nice and fine. You can take it like this and just watch it crumble. Then he'll come out there, and later on he'll have these, they all do it with machines now. They don't do it with their hands. And he goes down there, and there's little buckets on top, and they're dropping the seed all the way down the field. And there's something covering it up. And he does all that work, and that's all he can do. His work is done. And he's trusting on God to put the rain there and to bring the sun out to raise that crop that he planted. But it was a lot of work that went into that. And remember, years ago, they used to do it with the horses and the teams and all that stuff. Now they got tractors, but it's still a lot of work because now they got tractors, they do even more property. And them guys put in their time. They get up early and they feed their animals and do all that stuff, and then they get out there and plant their crops. Okay, it's just how we got to understand in life. We're doing things, and we're planning things, and we're doing things for God, and he's seeing it. And we have to trust in God to bring everything else to fruition. Just like that farmer does. Aren't you glad that farmer gets up and plants that crop every day? We can go to the grocery store and buy whatever we want. But somebody did some work. Somebody was being a servant and getting out there and working. And they got to a point where they did all they can do. And God had to take over and do the rest. And as Christians, folks, we get in here, we know that God wants us to do things, and we say, I'm going to be a servant of God, I'm going to live for him, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do my part, and that's all I can do. God will give me the rewards. Amen? We trust in him. We shall reap if we faint not. So when we did what was right, with the right motives, and received no credit, receive no recognition, no thank yous. We have God's promise that we shall reap. Praise the Lord. So, see, understand, folks, God is looking, why are you doing this? Are you wanting to receive accolades from men, or do you want to receive from me? See, God's looking for the right attitude also. Nobody ever tells me thank you. God sees it. That's all that matters. God sees it. Amen? So, and there's many people that come over here, do work at the church. I come over here many times myself and do things. Nobody knows I'm even here doing it. Right? But God sees. All right? God sees. Ephesians 6, God promises that we will receive in return. See, God's promises that we will receive of the Lord. That's who we're worried about. Ephesians 6, 7, and 8 says, serve wholeheartedly. You mean even when nobody's looking? Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Okay? On your job, when nobody's looking, are you serving wholeheartedly? When nobody's looking, but God's looking. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. Amen? So no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing in life, serve wholeheartedly. I could slack here. Serve wholeheartedly. Be faithful to God. He sees you. He knows you. He understands you. He wants to bless you. Have a right attitude in whatever you do for God. Whatever you do for anybody else, have a right attitude. This person is not really appreciative. Have a right attitude. God is appreciative. Amen? Now listen, God went to heaven, or God went to the cross, I'm sorry. He went to the cross and he sacrificed his life for some people that weren't so thankful. So people that weren't so appreciative. And God, even those that put him on that cross, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did it for us. There was no At that time, there was nobody going up there, thank you, Lord, for hanging there for me. His disciples were hiding. At that moment, when he was going through it, there was nobody there to be thankful to him for what he did. But he did it for me and you. Amen? I believe it, no matter all those, there was a lonely experience. In the garden, he was praying. He asked his disciples, will you pray with me? And they fell asleep. No appreciation being shown for what he was doing. He was so stressed and so going through it that he sweat drops of blood. That had to be an agonizing time. But he did it for me and you. He did it for me and you. And he was doing these things. He was serving wholeheartedly. I mean, this flesh didn't want to do it. He says, not my will. Talking as a man. Talking as flesh. Not my will to do this. I don't want to go through all this. I've seen people up on that cross. I don't want to do that. As a man, as the physical man. But he said, not my will, not this flesh, but thine be done. And folks, when you're doing things for God and your flesh doesn't feel like it, see, not my will. That's what Paul talked about. He says, I die daily. What's he dying to? This flesh desires. Okay, the things the flesh likes. There's things that the flesh likes us to do that God doesn't want us to do. Come on. There's things that we should, you know, people do in society that God is not pleased with. And God says we shouldn't do them. But people do them because they're giving into the flesh. Paul says, I die daily. Flesh, you're not going to get your way. Well, the flesh wants to do this. You know, I want to pray. The flesh is tired, says, I want to sleep. Flesh, you're not going to get your way. As a man, Christ Jesus, his flesh didn't want to go to the cross. His flesh didn't want to pray that night. But he says, not my will, but thine be done. Amen? So, folks, we have to serve wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ and do his will, amen, and be pleasing to the King. Amen? Let's stand here today. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. God bless you. Let's take a break here. Come back here at 11 o'clock and have service.